we know that the name of the parasha will be Shoftim, but we're going to discuss a little bit. We're going to start with Shoftim, and then we're going to go into the concept of, again, another secret about Rosh Hashanah from a different angle. But let's first understand Shoftim. The word Shoftim means to judge, or judges. And the Torah write to us, you should put judges and police at your doors. So Debbie spoke on Shabbat, we didn't record it, that why do you need judges and police? Why do you need, just a judge or police? And we know that the judge is, has to do with the mind, the intellectual, and the police has to do with the physical, if I'm correct. So the idea, where are those gates that they're sitting, is our five senses. What make us make decision? The eyes, the ears, those are actually the when the Torah, when the Bible telling us you should put a judge and police in every entrance, we think it means every door. But when you get to the deep meaning of every verse, is those are the doors, those are the doors, those are the doors. So the doors are we speak, what we eat, what we're looking at, what we don't want to look at, what we listen to, what we don't listen to. Those are actually the gates that we are actually relating to. Now, why do we need to put judges and police? Because we want to change, right? We want to be better. I mean, the human nature is evolution. If you make, what's the difference, you know, between a human and other creation, our evolution is tremendously going amazing. I mean, the closest monkey to us, I'm trying to remember the name of that monkey, it's not chimpanzee, I think it's called Baba, something like Babuka or something like that. It's in Congo, it's in middle of Africa. And when you look at the evolution from that, you remember? Not baboon, no.
Bonobo?
No. What's it? Bonobo. How did you know that? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I know why you know. And now I know why you know. Okay. I'm not going to go into it. Okay.
No, that's now, not why I know what you're thinking.
Because this is the only animal that the female are controlling the male, actually. They are the leader. Is that why you remember that?
No. Or, I was reading an article that Congo, the bonobos, are endangered.
They are endangered. Yeah. It's almost gone. But the history of the bonobo, wow, I'm shocked somebody know about it, is that the female are the leaders. It's the only animal that the female are the leader. There is no man leader. The female decide how things are going to go.
That's why
we're almost
extinct. You should
get your guy.
Oh, my God. This is going the wrong way. Now I was going with the Torah, Shoftim, now we are the monkey, and now we have a campaign. So anyway, so the idea, the evolution of a human being is the most important thing. You know, you have a job, even if you make a lot of money, you want to see that you are evolved. You do a sport, you want to see that you are evolved. You're going on a date, you want to see that you are evolved too, you do better. Everything, you go to the gym, you want to see that you are evolved. Everything about us is evolution. So for that reason, we have to change perspective. Because everything you have is perspective. The reality that you see and the reality that I see, the same reality, is different for both of us. Because it depends on my experience. What I heard before I met that reality, what I saw before I saw that reality. Example. Hunter going to hunt animal in the forest, okay? So he's going with the gun, and he hears a little broken, dry branch. He's thinking the potential food. Take another person. He had the best experience in the forest because he couldn't see an animal chasing him, and the way he knew that the animal chased him again, he heard a broken, dry branch, the same thing. Both of them experienced a different story. One experience, finally, I'm happy, I have food to eat. The other one, oh my God, there is an animal in this forest, I gotta run away. So the whole perspective comes from the five senses. Every time that you judge a situation, and that's what's called shoftim, you judge a situation, and you can't disconnect yourself, divorce yourself from the situation before, you are actually not living in the present. You are living in the past. For that reason, as we go to Rosh Hashanah, as we coming to that understanding, we need to start to get ready. How do we get ready? Change the way you listen to things. Like listen again, see again, taste again. You know, nothing is like the first moment of taste vanilla ice cream. You taste vanilla ice cream, you compare it to something else. We are all into comparing business. We're comparing all day long. You go in a relationship, you compare it to this one, to this one. Why you compare? Can you experience it again? Well, you cannot experience it again until you don't put judges and police again on all your senses and restart again. It's a whole concept. And unfortunately, most people don't know, because of religiosity, that only through Rosh Hashanah technique, you erase all your memory and you restart again to experience everything from scratch. It's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Because if you have a bad experience, you burn. You burn. Not only for one lifetime, next lifetime too. If a woman had 10 kids and her husband ran away with her sister in the last lifetime, this woman will have a hard time to have children. Very simply. You ask her, do you want to have kids? Say, no, I don't want kids. You ask her why? Say, I don't know, but I don't want kids. Okay. Last lifetime. So she couldn't erase it. Whatever you cannot erase, chase you to the next level. Okay? So it's very important to start with that. Shoftim v'shotrim teten lecha b'kol sharecha, should put police and judges in every gate. And then the Torah continue. You should not take a bribe. What is a bribe? Is it when I'm giving you money, now you're going to like me? Bribe can be a smile. But you can bribe even yourself. How many times you promise yourself not to do it again? Or to do it from now on, I'm going to do only that. And you don't keep your promise. Who is bribing you? You have an inner force, negative force, that keep convincing us that it's okay not to do it, or it's okay to do it if it's negative. So we need to be on top of ourselves. It's not about just discipline. It's more than discipline, because discipline will get you to a place where can you control your temptation and your reflex. You need more than that. You need a connection to a divine. You need a connection to the light. You need a connection to God. Because if you only have master control yourself, it will get you somewhere. It will be better than where you are now. But you need both. You need the help from the divine, and together with that, self-control. Now, somebody asked me a question, and through the answer, I found out that this is one of the only time I answer this way. I think we all can learn from that. You have a problem, you want to solve the problem. Nice. You're spiritual, you're religious, you're asking from God to help you. What do you ask God usually? I don't have money, help me to get money. I don't have love, help me to get love. I'm not healthy, make me a bit healthier or better than I am today. We already making a decision of what we want, and we're asking God to fulfill that need or that need of that decision. Unfortunately, spiritually, that's not the way it goes. And the way I will explain it is by sharing with you a story. The story goes like that. It was in a village where 1,000 prisoners was captured for not paying tax and they took to prison. And the three major rich people from the city heard about it, and every one of them wanted to give some donation. The first rich man said, I heard they have a problem with the shower there. I will donate the water and the shower so they can have a good time. The two rich people are impressed. Very nice. Second rich man said, I heard the bed is not comfortable. I'm going to donate 100 beds for them to have a good condition in prison. The third person say, what's the address of the prison? They ask him why. So I'm going to pay off whatever they owe so I can take them out of prison. Many times when you talk to God, you don't ask God to get you out of prison. You ask God helping you that prison time will be better. Unfortunately, from this point on, from today, till Rosh Hashanah, you have your chance now to get out of prison. But if you think you can do it yourself, I don't know who you're fooling. I don't know who you try to fool. Let me tell you the bad news. You can never do it yourself. That's the bad news. Let me tell you the good news. You can never do it yourself. Never. And whoever tells you you can do it yourself is such an ego trip. Can you really change? And everybody comes, of course I can change. You don't change your core until the creator takes the engine, put it out, and put the new engine inside the closet. And if you think you change and you are a much better person than you used to be before, that's an ego trip. That's when you never change. The ego was there to begin with. Being humble is to understand two things. I need the help of the divine. Second, every change that I have is coming from the divine. Third, even my thought of asking help from the divine didn't come from me. Now, as I look at your eyes and your expression, it bothers you a little bit. Why? Because the ego doesn't like to hear it. After all, we're spiritual. We decide when to go to the bathroom. We decide when to get angry. We decide when to eat. We decide when to have sex. We decide when to start the date, when to end the date. We in control of our life. We decide when to born, when to die, right? I mean, we control everything. We know everything. We decide when to get sick and when to be healthy. We make the decision on everything. After all, in my schedule, there is tomorrow at 11:30 to get angry. 12:15, I'm supposed to get jealous. 6, I'm supposed to get lazy. It's in my schedule. I'm in control of my life. Stupid people still believe that they're in control of their life. They don't have ego. They're just stupid. Somebody who has ego is not egomaniac. Stupid. There's no reason to call them egomaniac. It's a compliment to ego. Ego is, sometimes you should have ego for something you accomplish. Somebody invented this iced tea. Oh yeah, you can have ego. But having ego to invent the iced tea, it's a stupid. Where is the thought even came from? There is a river of thought. You take a drop, put it into your brain, and you have it. Everything has already been created. We tap into it with an effort to want it. So the only thing you can do on your own is ask for help, and even that coming from the divine. So you become full of gratitude. You become so happy that today I want to change. Now who put that motivation within me to change? The divine as well. I'm going to dance for that. I'm so happy. But usually people dance for what? I got it. I'm smart. That doesn't make people happy. I never saw somebody who egomaniac who is absolutely happy. They're always miserable. I have no idea. Somebody who invented this phone, I don't know, the printing machine, drink. Genius. Why are you not happy? Because there is no divine. Happiness doesn't come from within. Happiness is a gift from the divine. So to have that gift, have gratitude and appreciation that you thought of something. Wow. That I was thinking about, that's not mine. Thank you, divine. 25 years ago, I met a man that invented a toothbrush that moves without electricity and without battery. Your movement of doing that actually creates a movement in your mouth. Simple idea, right? The ego was ridiculous. Ridiculous. So I knew it's a reflection of my ego. It's good for me to see it. The same week I met another guy who invented, it was kosher pizza at that time, how to freeze kosher pizza. In those days it wasn't big to have frozen pizza, and you keep it in your refrigerator. So I met the guy, and he's sitting on his chair and said, I had a dream. Now look at your life. Do you have a good idea for your life right now? Do you have a good idea? something that's going to make you either rich, either happy, either full with love, healthy, something which is wow. If you have those ideas, it usually comes Saturday night, if you want to know my secret. All good ideas come Saturday night, or maximum till Sunday night. That's the only time a good idea comes. You need to know that. So you, unfortunately, most people party at that time. They drink, so they waste all the idea. Party on Thursday. Well, you have to party Saturday night.
Monday.
On Monday. Monday. What's wrong with Monday? Everybody hates to party on Monday. Anyway, so the idea is you want to be happy with your idea. Have gratitude that that idea didn't come from you. If you're capable of doing it, all your life starts changing. All your life. Now, that's bringing us back to the five gates, five senses. When you see something, is it a reality? Or is it what I think reality is? What is it? And if you meet a bad reality, is it because something in me not changing? Or it is a reality that tried to change me? And I'm not trying to become a philosopher here. And if you think about what affect what, is reality affect you or you affecting the reality? And if you see the reality as it is, are you already affecting it? Or reality see you as you are, reality affect you? I'm sorry, I'm totally changed all the POV, you know what POV is, right? There is a writer who wrote a movie, I don't remember the movie, forgive me. It's a sci-fi movie, not for people with a tough heart. It's not good for everybody. You're not going to be able to handle it. Not there's no dramatic or anything, but twist a bit. I can't tell you because you have to see it for yourself. Debbie later can send you the name. It's tough because it plays with your emotion and your point of view on life. And all of a sudden, when you like that hero, that hero become enemy, and the enemy become your hero. In the middle of the movie, you change. And so what happened to me? What happened to me? I can't stand myself. I just hate my hero. It changed. And it's a very beautiful twist. And so I said, this is interesting. This is kind of thing. And the idea is we need to start to have a bit control. Not to let what the news affecting you. Not what think. A bit control. And the way to gain control again, Shotrim v'shoftim, police and judges, bekol sharecha in every gate, then meditate, and then let the information flow. Say thank you to the universe for the energy flowing to your mind, and then start to look at the universe differently. And you will see it in a very different way. Okay? So let's go to the first question of tonight. Are we judgmental? What do you think? Are we judgmental or not? Let's define judgmental. What's the definition? What my American English speaker people, what does judgmental mean? How do we define judgmental? I mean, not you, but when you meet somebody who's judgmental. Chas v'shalom, no, I'm not talking about people here. But out there, I'm sure there's one person who's judgmental. So what is it to be judgmental? Let's think for a second together.
For me, it's just to pass judgment, whether somebody's right or wrong, as if I know what is right or wrong.
Okay, I like it. So, because I decide what's right, what's wrong.
Right.
Okay.
And so I'm just sort of, nope, yes, good, yes.
So you decide.
Evaluating everybody, yeah, as if it matters what I think.
Okay, I like it, Anybody want to add, or we good with that? Yes, it's good. Okay, so right from wrong will be judgmental. And let's see, the Zohar bringing a different angle. So let's see what the Zohar write about it. It's a little bit complicated, so I'm going to do my best to explain it. Okay?
One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. It is a precept to testify at court, so his neighbor shall not lose money, because he does not testify if he knows of a testimony in his favor. The testimony requires no less than two witnesses. That is the meaning of at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established, but not at the mouth of one witness. That is why the sages of Mishnah have explained who bears testimony on a person, the walls of his house do. Moreover, the members of his household testify about him. What are the walls of his house? They are the walls of his heart, as written. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall. The sages of the Mishnah have explained this to teach us that Hezekiah was praying from the walls of his heart.
So, witness. Are the witness judgmental?
Not in a negative way, but they're still saying their opinion whether yeah. what they saw.
Interesting, right? I mean, the witness say what they saw, but we just study about police and judges. And here it says you have to be a witness if your friend will lose money. You actually have to be a witness. You cannot ignore that. You have to be a witness. And the lawyer or the prosecutor or the judge has to be smart enough to talk to the witness to get only fact, dry fact. And from there, so what's the difference between fact and being judgmental? What are you doing when you look at the fact? Are you judging? Yeah, but what are you doing when you're only bringing the fact onto the table?
We're analyzing.
Huh?
Giving a specific account of what happened.
Yeah, I like also what Michelle said, analyzing. Fact, when you're dealing with the fact, is only to analyze. You're not involved with that, right? I mean, it's not like you are so involved. You just ask the dry question. Of course, I mean, lawyer, prosecutor, the human being, and the judge also, have a problem, you know? That's why all those good movie that they show, they see that all of a sudden they change the judge and they put a different judge. Say, oh my God, the lawyer say, what are we gonna do now? Because it's a human being sitting there, okay? And one of my friends is actually a judge who was, 88 years old? About 88 years old, I think you know him too, you know? And I know him for 25 years and we talk a lot about that. And I said to him, come on, I mean, you're a human. So of course I'm a human. So you're having a bad day, so of course I have a bad day. So you had a heart attack and problem, you come back to court, you have issue, it's a fact, you know? So the idea is, here he's talking about two witnesses. Why two? One saw the fact, it's enough. Two. The Talmud and the Torah said, Al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. You ever saw two people who are not getting bribed, or getting along over one witness fact? It's very difficult, you know? Very difficult. Very, very difficult. Very difficult to bring two people to agree that actually this is correct. So when you have two people agree about something, usually it's correct, usually. Then the Zohar takes us into a deeper meaning. You want to know who is your witness? Your home, where you sleep. Witness. Not good, because the wall can't talk, at least now, but what if they could talk? What would they tell about you? Now, I'll tell you another witness in your house that can talk. If you have babies, children, you will know everything about the person. Tell you another secret. If you see a married couple, you can tell more about the man from the woman. The husband is there, and pin is always covered. You can never tell a lot. You talk to the woman and you interact, you would do everything about the man. It's called Isha Ateret Ba'ala. The woman is the cover. Outside, the husband is always covered. You can never see what's really going on. You can never see. Nothing. People think they see, but they see nothing. Once they get married, it's over. It's covered. I don't want to start a whole new campaign. But that's what happened. So, say kirot bito, the walls of his house, the baby, even the dog, the cat, the birds, you know, everything talk. So witness mean the universe fill you. You never felt a vibe when somebody walked into a restaurant and you felt comfortable or uncomfortable. Never happened to you. I know it happened to me many times. You walk, you eat your dinner, you're very happy. Somebody walk by and you have a chill. Ooh. And you don't even know why. You're not a cat. So there is a vibe around people. But we don't know what it is, and we cannot call it a name, and we don't want to become judgmental, and we don't want to analyze them. We just want it to pass. So why still do we need two witnesses? Because it's very important. Here is talking about you. How would you know if you did your right or wrong? You have to have two friends at least in your life. Two people in your life that you tell the truth to. Especially now in months of Elul. You go to them, say, I want you to know everything about me, the bad and the good. And you please guide me if I'm doing the right thing. If you don't have two people at least that you tell them, you would never know if you're on the right path where you're going. So the next verse is another level of understanding. So let's go to the next verse, please.
The following precept is to do to a witness convicted of false testimony as he thought to do to his brother. If the two false witnesses, Samuel and the serpent, come to give false testimony against Israel, then they confuse between Vav and Zion.
No, don't say his name. Sam. Let's call him Sam. It's the worst angel exist. Sam. I'm sorry, it's there. I didn't say it's there.
Namely between...
Sami. We'll call him Sami.
Okay, I love Sam. Namely between Zeron Pin, that is Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. That is Zion. That is, that they have sinned and distanced from their sin, the Vav, which is Zeron Pin, from the Zion, which is Malchut, which are the letters of Zu. This is the meaning of this people which I have formed for myself, they shall relate my praise. Namely, this alludes to the people that unites the Zion with the Vav.
Okay, I know it's complicated, and I know it's a mess with the Zion and the Vav and the Hebrew letter. Zu mean that's it, or this is. But let's understand a deeper understanding. There is a negative angel. When you come to Rosh Hashanah, they're opening your file. Every human being, Jewish, non-Jewish, doesn't matter. Opening your file, Italian, everybody. They're opening the file, and they start looking into the file. And they start looking, what's going on? The divine God wants you to win. The good news, the judge wants you actually to win. But the judge wants you to do whatever procedure it takes to win. The persecutor, that name, is the persecutor on Rosh Hashanah who come, say, hey, wait a minute. This guy stole. This guy hurting people. Why would you give him another chance? So the divine say, hey, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see. Let's see how that human behave. So the universe operate in a very beautiful way. The universe operate in chesed, in mercy, in love, in beauty, in giving a second chance. That's how the universe operate, by the way. The dark side were created for two reasons. One reason, to seduce you to go after your emptiness, because we're living in emptiness all the time. What do you think people steal? They can go find a job, but they need to feel in empty. So when a person is empty, now he need to steal. Person who feels somebody is better than them, he need to kill. Empty. The emptiness is an engine that being awake now to start acting in a negative way. Who start the concept of being empty? That negative angel, another angel that I don't want to mention their name. So they need to make you feel depressed all the time. That you don't have enough money. You don't have enough love. You're not good looking enough. You're not fast enough. You don't do what you accomplish. What I'm going to do with my life. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough this. It's always what's missing. When you go into what's missing, you know that force starts attacking you. When that force starts attacking you, ask yourself one thing. Can I see one good thing in my life? In that moment, just test yourself. Can I find one good thing in my life? But sit on it. Let me see if I can do 10 minutes what's good in my life. Then ask yourself again. Can I go 40 days with no complaint? 40 days. Okay, 40 is a lot. 30. Oh, you're still laughing. Okay. 10 days with no complaint, still laughing. Okay, 3 days. No, still faces. 1 day. 1 day with no complaint. 1 day. If we could go 1 day with no complaint, we are not awakening that force to go ahead and show us negativity. Let me tell you why it's important. In the books of the Kings, there is a prophet by the name of Nathan. Not Nathan Hot Dog, Nathan is a prophet. And, I'm sorry. There is kosher Nathan Hot Dog. So, Nathan the prophet came to King David and he said, I would like to tell you a story. And he said, it was a poor man. And a rich man took away from the poor man his house. And he took the source of money that he has, the cow, the sheep, everything away from him. And now the poor man has no food to eat, no house to live, no nothing. And the rich man just have a good life. What do you think we should do? You're the king. What's the decision on that? He said, he answered him in Hebrew, Ben Mavet Aishahu. That person is supposed to die. The prophet Nathan looked at King David and said to him, then you should die too. King David right away understood. He looked back on his life, say, I did the same. I saw my soulmate, Bathsheba. She was his soulmate. Her husband never have been with her sexually. They get married, but they didn't get along, so they never did anything. So King David, and he spoke not nice to the king. And the rules in the Bible, if you speak against the king, not like Trump is not considered a king in FBI right now. I mean, don't go there, okay? Talk about like king, as spiritual rules of king. I don't want you, hey guys, start to think, oh my God, it sounds like Trump. No, no, no. King David is different. Chose by God, not by the people, okay? So, chose by God to be a king. Bathsheba was the love of his life, but she was married. Still love her. He knew she belonged to him, but he didn't know what to do about it. Her husband spoke against the king. By the law, King David allowed to kill him. But he couldn't kill him because he felt like he had an agenda. That was the only sin King David did. He was supposed actually to kill him. Why? Because on the sword of the Jewish fighter used to have the name of God, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the Tachigamaten. So if you get killed by that, your soul going to the highest level. The people he sent them to fight with called Ammon, where Jordan is today, Amman. And in the sword of Amman was a snake. So whoever gets killed by the snake, go into the dark side. So Nathan came to him and said, you had a chance. By the rules, the last guy who did it to you, you killed him. Because that's the law. This guy spoke not nice to you, didn't kill him. He said, just go to the war. Because you like his wife a little bit. So there is a problem. In the end, he married Bathsheba. And he died, he married Bathsheba. From them born King Solomon. But why am I telling you that story with Nathan and King David? You cannot be judged until you judge somebody else on the same thing that you did. You can't be judged. You can never be judged. So let's say if you stole a camera and you saw somebody else steal a camera and you don't judge them, they can never judge you on stealing the camera. It's a good deal. Can you do it? Are you judgmental, as we asked before? Are you capable? Let me give you an easier task. Can you judge what the person did and not the person? Can you do that? If a person steals money, can you judge just the act of stealing the money instead of judging the person? Can you do that? That's easier, right? Would you say that person is a thief? Or you say that person stole? That person is a thief. On your head, that person just stole. When you fall to the dark side of your life, are you a righteous man that fell? Or you are a wicked person that rise? Is that question clear, what I just asked? It's very important that we understand how we look at life, because that's how the universe looks at us. If we are not capable to distinguish, to separate, to view life in a different way, life cannot view us in a different way, and then we will have to be judged too. We cannot change. The only way you can change everything in your life is when you start changing the perspective of things. And then you'll be shocked what's happening in life. It's the old game change for everything, for your business, for everything. You'll be shocked. People will talk to you different because you are above. You just raise yourself to the next level. You are powerful again. You see things different. And that's what makes a person powerful. It's not powerful, it's not just muscle. Powerful is when you are absolutely capable to say to yourself, yeah, I saw him stealing. I don't think he's a thief. I think he was hungry. Yeah. If you know somebody has 24 kids and he sustained 25 family, uncle, everybody, and he steals a loaf of bread, would you hate him for that? Or you said, it's okay, I pay for that. How come? He's still stealing. Because when you see the whole picture, you're no longer judgmental, like God. God sees the whole picture. So God can never judge you. Why you sin? When you sin, why you sin? When you steal, why you steal? We're all stealing. It doesn't have to be money. Stealing, you can steal opinions from people. You can convince them that you're right about something that you're absolutely wrong. It's stealing too. So we all thief? No. We're insecure. So when we empty, so we try somebody to make us feel better. He says life. But it doesn't mean that you are bad people. If you look at people who do bad things and you think they're bad people, then the universe look at you as bad people, and then you look at yourself as bad person. So who judge you on Rosh Hashanah first? You. How do you look at life? Ben Mavet Ata, say Prophet Nathan to King David. You are also supposed to die, tell him. If that's how you view life, if that's how you view life, then that's where you are. How do you view life? How do you view life? All the sinner and the criminal, are they sinner or criminal? Or they fell? They fell. They fell so low. They fell so low. Because it was diamond in the mud that they had to pick up. And they stay in the mud a little bit too long. That's a way to change it. Now, of course, there is a technology that we have to adapt how to change it, because it's not enough just philosophical, motivational kind of a thing. Okay, I'm not doing it tomorrow. None of us can change like in 5 minutes. So, how do we do it? So, Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Zohar, the Talmud, everybody telling us that we all have to do something called Teshuvah. Teshuvah means repentance. Repentance, if you take the word in Hebrew, Teshuvah, it's built from 5 letters, Taf, Shin, Vav, Bet, and Hey. Or if we separate into two forces, Tashuv, Hey. The A of the name of God, Yud, K, Vav, K, the Hey, the last A of Malchut, will go back. What does that mean, that the A has to come back? A represents your desire to receive. A represents your selfishness. A represents your emptiness. A represents your dark side. A represents all the engine of there is a fight over property. If I'm not going to go first, somebody else will take it away from me. Do you really believe so? So there is no divine for you. There is only you. If there is only you, then you should fight for it. Do you believe that if you sit here and try, is it everything written, or you have a free will to choose between good and bad? What if I tell you both? Everything is predetermined, and you still have a free will. Everything is written, everything. All your choices, everything you're going to do. But you still have a free will. That can blow your mind. One of the rabbis that deal with it is the Rambam, Maimonides. And he went to the philosophical question, what exists? And in his book that's called Moreh Nevuchim, I don't know the name in English, do you remember? Moreh Nevuchim. he touched this subject. And the way I can explain it that everybody can understand, you walk into movie theater, there is 20 movies.
The guide for the perplexed.
I cannot even say it. Proplacas, I don't know. Sounds like one of the area for chakra that is. Anyway, so yeah, don't get this book. I mean, I'm sorry that I mentioned it in English. It's gonna blow your mind, and it's a mess. The book is, I mean, you can read it if you have nothing else to do and you want to read it. But it's a very difficult, more difficult than Greek mythology and philosophy and Shakespeare together. It's your mind, you know. I talk about how things work. You're in a movie theater, 20 movies. Is it 20 movie all running at the same time? They all start 9 p.m. Beginning, the middle, and the end of the movie is already written. What do you think? Yes or no? Yeah. So no free will. Are you in all the movie together? No. So what's the only choice you have? And what's the second choice you have?
How long you stay?
How long you stay? It's only free will. But you can actually cannot change. I see sometimes crazy people try to change their husband, the wife, and I'm laughing sometimes. There is a way to help, but you cannot change the movie. This is their movie. Their movie. This lady called me from New York, and we met when I was playing guitar in Lower East Side. I went to give a lecture, and I had to take my suit off because I was invited to give a lecture. There was a lot of young generation people. And I came with a suit because I gave a Wall Street motivation lecture, and I came there, not far. So then I saw different kind of people. I said, that's not going to work. Take the tie off that, open the shirt, take a guitar, play a song. So I met the lady there. She wanted to marry a guy, the best looking guy ever. Ever. I mean, none of you girls ever saw something like that. It's like cutting from the magazine, puff it a little bit, and become alive. I'm sorry. I mean, then you could never see a guy like this. Now, we all can see. Some of the guy, people at home, some of the guy are telling me, hey, we are here. Then it was different. We didn't have more than one. Now, thank God, we're blessed. So, he was a cheater. And she believes she can change him. They're in the middle of divorce now after 15 years of marriage. And she called me again. She remembered me all of a sudden. Hey, how are you? She said, you heard what happened? I said, no, please tell me. So she told me. I said, but honey, we were there when it began. You knew who he was. I mean, yes, you can hold him for 2 years, 3 years. So it's like a beach ball. You put it under the water. It will get out of the water eventually because, no? How much can you suppress? It's you. I mean, some people are okay with it. I know women are okay with it. You know, okay, they look to the other side and they're okay. Some men are okay with that. Some couples are okay with that. There's people who, this is the way of life. The idea is, when we talk about teshuvah, repentance, is for you. It's not for the other person. You're not supposed to do repentance for another human being and remind them what they need to change. It's not your business. Not your business at all. What is your business to tell what the other person needs to do? Want to become police now? Unfortunately, with religion becoming fanatic today, Christian, Jewish, everybody start telling everybody what to do. I mean, the best person I had here, he came to do healing with me. I didn't know who he was in the beginning. Dressed cool, sport shoes, a hat. Then he told me he's imam. You know what imam is? What do you call it? Like Muslim priest? Is it what you can tell? Imam. I didn't know what imam. I thought it's called sheikh. But I didn't know it's different between imam, hat, and this. Then he told me about his lifestyle. So, wow, believable. So well, you can see me, I know you don't have a yarmulke, are you okay with me? No problem, I'm Jewish. I say, I'm doing healing, but still wearing the yarmulke when I do healing. So no, my friend was here, I know his friend very well. And we talk, and we enjoy it, and we want to come back. So thank you, nice to meet you. And we have a good conversation. And I said to him, now I want to tell you something. Religion is not a problem. So to him, the people who teach religion make people almost like in a fanatic way scared of God instead of loving God. Nobody who go to religious place believe God loved them. Nobody. People stop believing in God. They start believing the rabbi and the priest and the imam more than they believe in God. The new God become the speaker. We need to believe that right now you have a chance to actually go back in time, go back in time and start your engine of receiving from scratch. What do you want from your life? Make a list. What do you want in your life? Then after you make that list, do me a favor, make another list. Is what you want controlling you or you controlling it? That's the A, Tashuv A. You're bringing back the A, which is the engine of Malchut, the engine of receiving back. Now, why this month? This month is called the month of Virgo. Virgo means virgin. What does it mean, virgin? Virgin territory. You start all over again. What is the planet that controls this month, coincidentally? The planet, those of you who know astrology, Mercury. Where is Mercury related to the sun, do you know? The closest to the sun, very good. What is the sun powerful for? I mean, Leo love it. Everybody going around the sun. So if it's telling you that the closest thing to the sun is Mercury, and it's controlled this month, that means in this month, you can make any change you want. Any change you want. You can actually, it's a symbol, okay? The sun and Mercury, it's a symbol, but it's here to teach us from, not from astrology point of view, from astronomy point of view, how it works, that the planet called Mercury, in Hebrew, it's called Kochav. Kochav means Kavav Kavbet, 26, 22. To teach you, if you want to connect to the 26, which is God, which is Tachagamaten, you have to use the 22. What are the 22? 22 Hebrew letters. You have to learn to use the mystical power of the Hebrew letters. And when you know how to use it, and I cannot go in because of our time, you can actually change yourself. Change yourself. Change yourself. You can change the part about you that you don't like, the part about you that's blocking you. Some people can only make $500,000 a year. That's a blockage. Some people can only make $60,000 a year. That's a blockage. They cannot make more than that. And they will never make. They need to make a breakthrough to go next level. Some people cannot run more than 5 miles. That's a blockage. It's a blockage that comes from your subconscious mind. If you prefer, I will speak your language, subconscious mind. In Kabbalah, that subconscious mind connects to a place called Ze'er Anpin. Until you don't fix that thing, and the sun is Ze'er Anpin. So everybody want to go around it. The sun, according to a Kabbalist, who used to be also kind of a physics and astronomer, his name, you can read about him, his name is Rabbi Shabtai Donolo. They actually call him Dr. Shabtai Donolo. He was from Italy. And he studied astronomy and Kabbalah. But he wasn't so much accepted by people because it was out of the box. But when he died, they start reading his stuff. So, wow, they put it in the hardest book to read. It's called Book of Formation, which exists in English too. That book I recommend you should read. But again, it's difficult. It's astronomy. It's mostly astronomy. So, on Rosh Hashanah, when you come to Rosh Hashanah, there is something else happening. Something. All of you ever heard shofar? Can I have a small shofar? It's upstairs. Do you reach it? Yes? Okay. Sometimes I say things, sound stupid, but I say them anyway. I need to work on how I speak. It's a magic. I tell you a secret. The area that is the strongest area, that's the area you should be careful. If what I do for a living is talk all day long, that's where I should be careful. Because that's where I can hurt people, but that's where I can do mistakes. We have to be careful. So whatever area you think you are the best in that area, that's the area you start working on. Don't work right away on the negative thing. Work on the positive. Where are you the most? Where are you the best? Find one area, you know, easy. I have rules with my kids since they were young. When you finish test, you sit there 5 more minutes to check how you did. Because my kids used to be proud, being smart, they give the test first. And then they do mistake 10, 15. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you knew, but nobody else know that you know. So sit another 10 minutes, you know? Thank you. This is a shofar, okay? It looked like a primitive tool. It's a small shofar. I have a big shofar upstairs, but I didn't want to scare the audience at home. So shofar is basically its horn of an animal, you understand? Coming this way, okay? It's coming like that. And usually here it close, and they cut it and basically empty it. And we use the shofar to make 3 types of sound. 3 types of sound. The sound which is long, and I'm gonna do it for you. The sound which is long, it's called tekiah. And I'm gonna tell you what it's taken care of, okay? So listen carefully. So this sound, tekiah. I'm sorry if I'm loud and look a little primitive, but it's important. Now, the other sound, it's called shevarim. It sounds like a crying baby. Okay, so it's have 3 parts to it. So it goes like this. So 1, 2, 3. The other sound is also like a crying baby, but more often. So it's about 9 of them. It's go more like this. So this is when it's more broken. So you have broken shvarim and broken trua. And then you close them with another tekiah, with another one in the end, which is called tekiah, which is flat. So I'm going to show you now. 1, 2, 3, 4. There is always a sandwich from one side, long, long, in the middle, all the issue. So it sounds like this if we put it together. I don't believe I'm doing it in front of the camera. Why not? It's embarrassing, but it's okay. It's good for the people. So as you can see, there is one, and the last one, the fourth, and in the middle is Shvarim Trua. What's the purpose of it? And how many of those blowing we're doing on Rosh Hashanah? Exactly 101. 101 blowing. And if you didn't hear it, this is the secret method, how you go back in time, and you change who you are and how you think. You cannot, and I'm sorry to sound a little bit fanatic, or religious, or spiritual, whatever you want to call me, but as a witness, I have to tell you the truth, and you decide if my truth is the truth or not. It's actually not my truth, it's the truth of thousands of years ago. The shofar, which the word shofar comes from the word lishtaper, to become better. Evolution, remember? The shofar, the sound, the vibration of the sound, and the hand of the blower, 5 finger, 14 joint, all of it is a meditation. I'm not going to go to 1,000 meditation. 14 joint of one hand, right hand, even if you're lefty, okay? Okay, 5 finger means something. Upper lips, lower lips, the throat, the top of the mouth, the gum, the teeth, the tongue, and everything else. That meditation, all of this has to be in the mind of the blower when they do that, is to go back in time, take what you think of yourself, what you think of other, and what other think of you, and everything together, and erase it and start new. But when you go to synagogue, Rosh Hashanah, there is some sound shofar, let's eat some apple now. No, it's a very serious surgery. Why? What happened to Rosh Hashanah? Adam and Eve were created. What happened else in Rosh Hashanah? Adam and Eve committed a crime. What else happened in Rosh Hashanah? Adam and Eve did repentance. They born, they did a crime, they did repentance, all happened in Rosh Hashanah. So every Rosh Hashanah, we're going back to this. Everybody say, Happy New Year. Yes, Happy New Year, it's a very nice blessing. But you need to know the history of that day. The history of that day is the seed level of creation of humanity. So they give you a chance. The universe gives you a chance. It's open. Go ahead. 48 hours, you do right, you can change everything. And look what you change. The first 30, we do 30 blowing like this, is taking care of something called idol worshiping. What is idol worshiping? None of you bow to an idol. Well, idol worshiping can be a lot of things. Everything you're addicted to, idol worshiping. Are you addicted to something? That's your idol. Drugs, money, sex, food, all of it. Is it controlling you or you're controlling it? Controlling me. Do you want next year to start different? Do you want that after Rosh Hashanah, you no longer want to be addicted? Or you say to God, if you have a religious mind, that's what you say to God. Oh God, okay, I'm promised to behave better. Why you promise to God to behave better? What did we say in the beginning of the lecture? If God gets involved, he takes it away from you. Why do you need to fight it? You cannot change. So take my idol worshiping out of my body. I don't want it. I don't want to worship money. I want money to serve me. Do I want to worship money? No. But maybe I enjoy worship money a little bit because I'm so addicted. If I talk to a person who's using cocaine every day and I say, give me the cocaine, no more cocaine. I'm the evil guy. He's the good guy. I'm taking what he's addicted to. And when he said, I want help, he want money to buy more cocaine. When he say, I want help, he want a line of cocaine. But when I use the word cocaine, you'll understand it. We all agree with that. What about me? What about all of us? All of some dark addiction? Some demon? The first 30 blowing. We are going back in time. Take it from the roots. Not this lifetime. First lifetime when your soul ever came to this world. That's what you want to meditate on. Not some, the rabbi makes some noise, the shofar, oh, good, good, oh, thank God it's finished, we can go home now. Are you crazy? This is like a life change technology. Why shofar? Why animal thing? Maybe in another lecture I will share with you. And I think Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, Debbie is doing all information for in English, so you're all gonna understand well, details after details after details of the of Rosh Hashanah. Second set of setting, it's for any type of sexuality. But not everybody is addicted to sex. But sex represents something else. Adultery. Stealing somebody's girlfriend, boyfriend. Where does it come from? Jealousy. Where does jealousy come from? Why people are jealous? They're lazy. So they don't want to work hard. They want to take something that already been ready. Let me have that. I want that. Hey, this couple work on their relationship for 17 years. Why you want to take it away? Because I want to work 17 years. I want it now. I just bought it in a supermarket, some cookies, crackers, some hot dog and pizza. I want to get the man too. Let me grab that man. But 17 years took us to be together. Same thing from a woman point of view, man point of view, doesn't matter. Laziness, sexuality, adultery, jealousy, all happened in the 32nd blowing of shofar. And that called left column, it's called more the judgment part. And it's a harsh part because we do it a lot. Either we do it with our eyes when we give evil eye to people, when we jealous, how come they have better life than us? Or either we do it with action. The third part is another 30 set, another 30 blowing of shofar. And that has to do with bloodshed, killing people. Now, I don't think you guys are killers. So why we have to come and hear it? Sometimes, and today people more talk about it because there is evolution. Hurting a person with words can actually kill them more. Speaking behind their back or speaking to them not nice can kill them. I know men and I know women, both, that get killed by a relationship. I know a man, he doesn't live here, live very far. And one woman destroys life. One. I send them to hypnotherapy, psychology. He cannot get out of it. I know a woman who was abused by a man. He never touched her body. Just talk. And she tell me I'm dead. I'm not alive. So you can see that you hurt people. Maybe you don't know it, but you might hurt people. I know I did. I know I have a big mouth. That's my biggest problem. You know, I use it for business, but I also use it. I'm hurt people without knowing. Sometimes I think it's funny. I remember one of the stories in my new book is about the pilot, American pilot from American Airlines, sitting next to me, so I explained to him the spirituality. And I was what I call new American, Israeli. So in Israel, we talk differently. And I spoke about his mom. And I say something funny. And he's very polite. He left the dining room. And he go downstairs. And Debbie was next to me. I say, will you apologize to him? I said, apologize for what? I said, just to hurt him. I didn't hurt him. I actually make him laugh. And he was having a good time with me. I said, why don't you go apologize to him? We were just dating. And I went to him. So how are you doing? Are you enjoy his dinner okay? Dessert soon? And I'm sorry if I hurt you, I told him. And when I said that to him, he looked. I said, wow, you actually got it that you hurt me? I said, again, I did mistake. I said, the truth, I did it. My wife told me. So I'm actually checking it out. Did I really hurt you? He said, yes, you hurt me when you spoke about my mom. I'm sorry. Apologize. Goodbye. Words, my friend, is what we're correcting the third set of blowing. But words that hurt people and kill them. Fourth set of, which is only 10. In the fourth one, you only have 10 blowing. The last 10 blowing is only when you speak behind people's back. When you speak bad about people behind their back, you're destroying your life and their life. You can't speak bad about people. It's not something you want to do all the time. Now, we can never stop it, just to let you know. You know, there is a show, it's an Israeli show. It's a four girl that, tough girls. I would never want to fall into their head. They have the Me Too campaign, but Israeli Me Too campaign. And they show on TV what they do compared to here. This, you know, it's very nice here. Thank God. There. No man. Cannot. They send one man from the TV to talk to them. It was. So they ask the men, ask them, what is women do together? Men, we do this together. I say, well, we sit together, we drink coffee, and we talk bad about people. You know, this just speaking bad about people hurting you, it doesn't allow you to change your perspective about life. Because you think what you say is the truth, and you start believing it. And then the people with you start to agree with you, and you are always sitting in the cesspool, and you can never get out of it. So it's bad for you first. Then it's bad for them, but first it's bad for you. Well, I want to tell you more, but I think I'm leaving something for Debbie on Thursday. But hopefully, a lot of information tonight. I highly recommend you listen to the audio part, and I tell you what I want to do soon every day during the daytime. I'm going to start doing not interview, that's the wrong word in English. What do we call something like that? It's a fun thing when I'm asking you a question. Is it an interview? I'm holding a microphone and I ask you, so what spirituality mean for you? And I'm going to put it on the podcast, but I'm also going to put it on Facebook because people want to see. Like when I'm asking people and have like a camera on us and we start talking to each other. So those of you who want to go first, don't be shy. Just to call Debbie and we can have interaction on camera. And we're going to start doing different things. After that, the next wave will be you asking me any question you want to ask me and I answer you. So we want to do it more for people who are watching on video or watching on Facebook. And I think it's going to be great. Okay? You guys have a wonderful night. Happy Monday. And I see you Thursday, or Debbie will see you Thursday. Thank you.